Okay, good evening, everybody. It is such a zechus, a privilege and a pleasure to be learning together this Thursday evening, our second Thursday Night Live of the season, and it is great to be here. I would like to thank the Kaplans, Josh and Naomi, Jonathan and Lori, for generously sponsoring tonight's shir. Ilui Nishmas, Lazecha Nishmas, their mother, Ayola Kaplan, Ayala Bat Shlomo, whose yurt site is this coming Motzi Shabbos, the 6th of Kislev. I remember hearing a lot about your mother a year ago. I was amazed because at the Shiva, someone came in and basically said that they're only religious because of your mother. There was a house that was just full of love and welcoming and singing and food. And what's crazy is that there was no meat and she still brought people in with her food, which means she was an incredible cook. It has to be, right? Because, okay, you get corned beef, and even if you're not so good at it, it's corned beef. But a really remarkable woman. Josh told me that she spent a year in Eretz Yisrael in 1949 and 1950, and that was a transformative year in life. I can only imagine what she would think now, and I don't mean now, in terms of the Eist Tzara that we're in, but the difference of Eretz Yisrael of then and today is really, really remarkable. And I'm sure there's no doubt that she's looking down at her children and grandchildren, the beautiful family, and having a lot of nachas. And the learning tonight should be le'ilui and le'zecher nishmasa. Last year, 2 weeks ago, we learned about the bracha borei ma'orei ha'esh. What's the nature and the point of that bracha? And we also spoke about the minhag or the halacha, the custom, the need to look at the fingernails based on pshat and the deeper meaning of the fingernails and the palms of the hand. And if you missed that shir, you can find it online. Tonight, I want to discuss three other aspects of Havdalah. We might need another shir as well, but that's one, the overflowing cup. You see different people do different things. We waste a lot of wine or grape juice or beer or orange juice or whatever we're using for Havdalah. I want to understand where that comes from, what it's about. And then we'll also at the end talk about this custom that you see people do, dipping their ring finger, their pointer, their pinky into the wine, putting it in their pockets. I shared with you a story last week that in high school I had a friend who was like, I think Ami knows him. Maybe we talk about him afterwards. It was our first friend who had a lot of means. He had a lot of money. He was like a five towns guy. It was like a big deal. And we went there for Shabbos. And after they made Havdalah, I had two friends who went to the plate of the Kiddush cup and took all the wine and they poured it into their pockets and they were rubbing it all. They like, we want this bracha. But you've seen, maybe not so extreme, but you've seen people do this. By a show of hands, who here does this, dips their fingers in, puts it in their pocket, on their forehead? Do you know why you do it? You do. Okay, we'll find out tonight whether you should or shouldn't and what exactly is the purpose of you do it. Because your parents did it, maybe, okay? Or you saw some great rabbi do it. Fine. I want to learn that as well. So let's start. If you open up to page number 1, really we're going to start with the Shulchan Aruch. Usually we'll start with the Gemara as the Rishonim. I'll start with the Shulchan Aruch and we'll go backwards. And I want to understand al pi pshat what we're doing. Says the Shulchan Aruch. This is Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Havdalah, Reish Tzadi Vav, and I have the English underneath. V'nogin lishpoch mikos shel yayin al aretz. We're accustomed, there are more packets over here if you don't have one, where the minhag is to pour from the cup of wine onto the ground. Kodem shesiyem borei priagefen. Before you complete the bracha borei priagefen, that is the first bracha of Havdalah. The Ramah had just said, and we'll maybe talk about this next year, we start with Psukim, Hine Kel Yeshuasi, Lashem Yeshua Amachab Rechazatasela, Lahudim Ma'isora. But before you finish the Borei Priagefen, you pour some of the cup onto the ground. Kidei Shalo Yiyah HaKos Pogum. So the cup is not Pogum. What does Pogum mean? Literally means blemished. There's something called a Kos Pogum, which we'll talk about in a minute. V'tama shvicha, what's the reason? The reason why we pour. Damrinan, he's quoting a Gemara in Erevin, which we'll see in a few minutes. Kol bayis shelo nishbach po yayin kemayim Ein bo simen bracha. A house that the wine is not flowing like water won't see simen bracha. Ve'osin ken, and we do this, why now? L'simen tov b'tchilas ha'shavua. The start of the week, it's a simen, right? We're accustomed to simanim on Rosh Hashanah. We have the pomegranate and the apple and the honey and all the simanim. It's a simen, so to hear. It's a simen at the beginning of the week to have a bracha. The Gemara says you don't have bracha unless your wine is flowing like water. So too we start the week. And then the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says, it's the Ramah. Gam shovchim in hakos lachar avdala. We also pour from the cup after avdala. Umechabin bo haner, and we extinguish the flame, the candle, in that wine that we spilled. And then the rest of the Shulchan Aruch will come back to later. It's very hard to understand. It's very hard to understand. Does that Gemara mean you're supposed to pour wine? That's wasted? That's what the Gemara means? Kol bayish in nishbach yayin kemai. It means literally that unless you spill the wine like water, and do we even spill water? So what does that Gemara mean? Furthermore, isn't it wasting food? There's an Isser. Yeah. Isser Baltashchis. Isser Ibud Mashkin. We can't just waste food. So why are we pouring out from the wine? That means you have less wine. It's Baltashchis. Also, that's not Kos Pogum. What does Kos Pogum mean? Kos Pogum is if you drink from the wine. You can't have wine that you already drank from to be used. Right? So if you have a cup of wine that you're having at Shal Shittus, right? You have a cup of wine at Shal Shittus, you have a sip, now you have a cup, it has enough wine, it's a Rov Kos, it's a Revius, it's the right shear, you can't use that wine for Avdala, it's Pugum. So how does pouring wine make it not Pugum? It has nothing to do. It has nothing to do with Pugum. And why pour again the second time? What are we doing? What are we doing? Most of these questions are asked, as we'll see. And we'll try to tackle some of them individually and then try to come back and make sense of the whole thing. The Ilya Rabba, who's a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, quotes a parish of the Be'er Sheva in Source 2. And the end of the first line, Hiksha, he quotes the Be'er Sheva who asks, Meha demamshichin bitzinoros lifnei hachasan. It's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos in source number 3, Daf Nun Amabez, says, and we quoted this in our shiur on throwing candy bags for a bar mitzvah or for an ufruf. The Gemara says, mamshichin yayin bitzinoros lifnei chasan lifnei kala. You draw wine through pipes in front of a chasan and a kala. Why do we do that? Why are we drawing or pouring flowing wine in a pipe before the chasan and kala? So Rashi in source number 4 says, Mishum simen tov. It's also a simen tov. What's the simen? Just like the wine is flowing, so too shalom and shalva should be flowing to you. It's beautiful. Now we throw candy. Why do we throw candy? It should be sweet. You should have, we simana milsahi, simanim is not just a Rosh Hashanah halacha, it's our halacha, or a concept, idea, it's all year. So it's a simon. And says Rashi, v'ein kan mishum bizui v'hefsid. Wait a second, why is that mutter? Because you want to have this notion of a simon. It's mutter to waste food, you're wasting the wine. Says Rashi, it's not a problem. L'fi shemekablon oso, b'rosh pi hatsinor b'kli. You collect it, it's in a kli. A tsinor is a pipe. So you're not wasting the wine. You would reuse the wine. You would drink the wine. It wasn't flowing on the ground, right? We throw the candy for a bar mitzvah. We eat the candy, right? So the kids eat a lot of it. A lot of it. They eat bags, stuff in their pocket. So ask the Be'er Sheva, I don't understand. The only reason it's mutter on for a chasan and kala is because you're not wasting the food. But here, you're by pouring the wine out of the cup, you're wasting it. You're right, it's for a simen, but we only have an allowance to make a simen if you're not wasting the food. So the Be'er Sheva asked this question, Hiksha, back to source 2, Mihadim Abshichin, B'tzinoris, Lefnei Achasin, Davka B'Kli, Mishum Bizui, Afshu Simin L'Bracha. Very strong question. And you know what he says? He quotes the Be'er Sheva, we'll come back, yeah, he says, V'siyem, and he concludes, Mishabeach Ani Asvardim, I praise the Svardim, Shein Shovchin, they don't do it. That's a Ramah. It's the Ramah who says to pour the wine. But the Svardim don't do it. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't. And he assumes that the reason they don't is because you're wasting. There's only a heter if you're not wasting. If you're wasting, there's no heter.
They laugh instead.
They laugh, okay. So what's the pshat? Why is there not a problem of hefsed, ibur, ochlin, or baltask? So there are a couple of answers, and we'll try to develop something bigger. The Magen Avraham in source 6, we'll come back to the Gemara in a minute. He says, in the last couple words, the Bedavar Muad ain't Kepeda. It's such a small amount. How much is really being spilled out of the Kiddush cup? Not a lot. There's, in all of Halacha, we have Shi'urim. There's an amount. Maybe it's a Kezias. If it's a beverage, maybe it's a Ravias. But the amount of wine, grape juice, that's being spilled or wasted is so small. That's not included in the Isser. Yes?
Is there a
shear for Baltashkas? I don't know. There are Mefarshim who disagree with the Magen Avraham for that reason. I don't know what the shear would be for Baltashkas. I don't know. It's a good question.
To distinguish the flame on the
We'll come back to that. That's the second part of the Ramah. The Prima Gadim says there is another difference. There, when it comes to pouring the wine, he says that it's not the waste or the loss of the food which creates the simcha. The simen tov is that it's flowing. But here, the simen is the wasting. So there's a purpose in the wasting. He says, look what he says. He says in source number 7, Yesh lomar hasam leis simcha b'masha azul ibud. Masha ein kein kan. Show sila simintov. V'chol tzarchei adam oseh. You could do anything that benefits man with food. What's his proof? Kimo merchatz b'yayin. You could bathe in wine. Now, I don't know if this is a Gemara somewhere, if any of the Shas Yidden over here who have been through Shas can tell me. Is there a Gemara about bathing wine? There is something called vinotherapy about bathing in red wine. I have yet to do this. If anyone has tried that, don't tell us right now. You can reach out to me afterwards. Maybe that'll be the next, activity. No, maybe not. Vinyl therapy, I think that what he means. You're allowed to bathe in wine. There was some, I looked online a little bit. There seems to be a big debate whether there's health benefits for bathing in wine. But apparently the Prima Gadim says mutter. Why is that mutter? It's ibud ochlim, because there's a purpose. So if the purpose is for the simen tov, so then the Prima Gadim says that's not called wasting food. Okay, but that doesn't really help us understand why we're doing it. What's it for? So the Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting is the Gemara back in source 5. I apologize for going out of order. The Gemara says like this, Amr b'chanin bar papa, kol she'in yayin nishbach besoch beso kimayim. Anyone or any time, any place that the wine is not flowing in his house like water, eino b'chlal bracha. It's not included in bracha. Not bracha. He quotes from a pasuk. You want bracha in the house? Wine flows like water. So, what does that mean? And why are we doing that? And back to our question of
flowing, means throwing it on the floor.
It could be drinking.
No, because then it would say kol shein yayin nishdeh. Right? It says nishbach. What does nishbach mean? Shofech. Shifchi kamayim libech. Shofech is to throw, to pour. So what it means to pour into your glass?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you'll like the Miri, which we'll quote in a minute. But now let's try to fit this in with the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. So you turn the page. Let's see the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 9. The Aruch HaShulchan has around five questions. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, "Hine," in source number 9, "Zesha kasav shenogin lishpoch kedei shelo yeh kos pagum, That which the Shulchan Aruch says, that you should pour out some of the wine so the cup is not pagan, in lazeh havana klal. It's not understandable at all. Klal. There's no way to understand it. The Levush Kasav Shlo Yishbok B'Tchilas Bracha, the Levush writes, it's in Source 8, you can take a look at it later, the Levush writes that don't pour in the beginning of the Bracha, Kedosh Kedei Shlo Yivarech Al Kos Pagam, so the Kos is not Pagam, the Eino Muvan, that's also not understandable. The Zeh Eino Pagam, pouring it or not pouring it, doesn't make it Pagam. Pagam Mikri Kishas Shosin Mimenu. Pagam means that you drink from it. How does it make it not pugum by pouring it? V'gam b'levush kasas yishbok kishem maschil abracha. The levush says that you should pour it when you start the bracha. V'zet tamu ayoser. That's even more difficult. Dim kain sofa bracha ye pugum. Im zet nikra pugum. If you're going to tell me that it's called pugum, so therefore when you do it, don't do it right in the beginning, do it after you start it, so it's not pugum, but then when you make the end of the bracha, it's going to be pugum. So, says the Aruch HaShulchan, what in the world is going on? After you make a bracha, before you drink it, you're going to pour some on the ground. It's a bizayon. There are those who explain it to Magen Avraham that it's not really pagum. It's only pagum if you drink from it. V'hach pagam hu lashon bizayon. Here, pagam doesn't mean kos pagum. It means it's a bizayon. It's pagum. It's blemished. He's kolomar dim yishpoch achar bracha avi bizayon. Kimosha kasav lachin shufik kodim sima. Vegam zet temua dim yish bizayon begmar bracha. Vadai di yish bizayon gam kodim close bracha. If there's a bizayon at the end of the bracha, there's a bizayon before the bracha. What in the world is going on? What's this kos pagum? Why are we wasting food? What's happening? So says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch means. Okay, it's not going to explain what's pshat in the Gemara, but just to understand pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is, I think, very understandable in the words of the Shulchan Aruch. He says you should not purposely pour out from the cup. You don't take your cup and tilt it over and pour out the wine. That would be a bizayon. That would be ibud ochlin. That would be silly. It would be pointless. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch means. He says as follows: Be'emes in source 10, custom of farshia Shulchan Aruch shlo lasos k'dvarav. The mefarshim of Shulchan Aruch say don't do like the Shulchan Aruch. Ella b'sha shememalin hakos l'havdala. At the time when you fill up the cup, you pour the kiddush cup. Memalin oso al kol gidosav. You fill it up all the way to the top so that a little bit will pour over. Now it doesn't go on the ground. That's the minhag olam. That's what people do. Skip down a line. It's on the line. He says that's what the Rabbah even means. The other Rabbah. Tikein Yoser Mipnei Shechoshe Shlo Bizui Mashke. The Ramah actually's plan is the best plan about Bizui Mashke. Why? Because he also Gamlo Ratz Levatel Aminag Lagamri. The Ramah had a problem. I don't want to get rid of the Minag. The Minag is to pour, but I also have a problem with Bizui wasting food. It's a disgrace. It's not right. So the Ramah had a plan. Lachein Yatz Lasos Peofenze. Therefore, the Ramah advised to do this way. V'hainu, d'zesha kasav lishpoch mikos, when the Ramah says to pour from the cup, in kavanasa lishpoch b'yadai. The Ramah doesn't mean to pour out with your hands. The rail is that, shalo kasav lishpoch min hakos. He doesn't say to pour from the kos, he says to pour the kos. What does that mean? Skip down to the double underline. Ela yimale, yimalenu mali mamish, kidin kos shal bracha. You should fill it up. You should really fill it up. Ach, b'sha shemaschil habracha u'minaneya hayad ma'at. When you fill up the cup and you start the bracha and your hand shakes a little bit, even if you're not so old and even if you have strong hands, the hand naturally shakes a little bit. Mimela, sheyishpach mat. Memela, a little bit spills. Achizar sheyishpach harbe. Be careful that a lot doesn't spill. V'yei pegam lahakos. Not kos pogum. It'll be a pegam. It's not right. Shelo yehei mole. If you pour out too much, the kos is not mole. Anything short of a full cup is not proper kavod to the cup. So you want to have as full of a cup as possible, but there is this minog, which we'll talk about in a minute, why, to pour a little bit out, so therefore, for some to be spilled out, so fill it up to the top, you'll hold the cup, your hand will shake, and a little bit will pour out, you're fulfilling that minog, which we'll talk about in a minute, and you're not wasting too much food. Good. When should you do this? You should do this when you start the bracha. He continues that if you're going to start from Hine Kel Yeshuasi, so then it's okay if your hand shakes a little bit during Hine Kel Yeshuasi. Rav Shmuel Kametsky in the next page disagrees. He says you want to be specifically during the bracha, because if it's during Hine Kel Yeshuasi, if it's before the bracha, it's not yet a Koshal Havdalah. It only becomes the Koshal Havdalah when you start Havdalah. It's very hard to do that. It's hard to tell your hand not to shake for the first few minutes, especially if you're holding a guitar in one hand or you're singing Hine Kel Yeshuasi, which is beautiful. But okay, but that seems to be the minhag. The Taz says this as well, as like a big chiddush, and the Taz says, that's what I did as well. I fill up the cup, and we'll talk about why you want a little bit to spill in a minute. You fill up the cup, and as you hold the cup, your hand shakes a little bit pours out. You're fulfilling that Gemara of Kol Bayish Eino Nishpa, Yayin Eino Nishpa Kamayim, Ein Bo Simen Bracha. You're fulfilling that, but at the same time, you're not wasting. It's not Ibud Ochlin, Ibud Mashkin, Bal Tashkas. It's only a little bit. And Pogum doesn't really mean Pogum. It just means not the Kavodik. So it should be as full as possible. Now, what is Pshat? Yeah. Yes, so a lot of poskim say you're supposed to refill it.
Yeah.
A lot of poskim say you're supposed to refill it.
Still wasting.
What? It's not wasting. It's for a purpose. Bal Tashkas, Tosfos asks in Brachos, the first Amud Aleph in the fifth pack of Brachos, talks about how the wedding, they came, and they, at the wedding, they would break the glass. They broke expensive glass at a wedding. V'gilu bir'ada, we're happy, but at the same time, have a certain seriousness. V'gilu birada. So the Mefarshim ask, why isn't that Bal Tashkas? You made chasnas, Moshe. You made chasnas. Yeah. Susie, at every chasna you made, broke a nice china plate. Sometimes it takes them a very long time.
I think the caterer provided.
The caterer. So but that proves that it's not just about... They asked that question also. How does that make anyone sad? It's someone else's plate. Yeah, but you paid for it. You played for it plenty. The pshat is that it's for a purpose. Right. If it's for a purpose, then it's not Bal Tashkas. So here it's for a purpose. But what I do want to do, give me, yeah, Avi.
And so before you, when you're filling up the cup at the beginning, when you're preparing Havdalah, just to pour according to the Taz
and the Aruch HaShulchan, when you pour the Kiddush cup, you should not pour it so that it overflows. Yeah, it's Ibud Mashkin. You should pour it all the way to the top. You know what's going to happen. When I do it, it already spills before I even pick up the cup completely, right? Right when you kind of touch the cup, a little bit spills. But it shouldn't just overflow. What are we doing? Yeah, Ibud Mashkin, Bal Tashkas. But what's pshat in that Gemara? What does that mean, that if a house that doesn't have yayin spilling, ein bo simen bracha? Is it just like a regular simen that we have pomegranates, so it's yirbu zuchi yosenu, so too flowing wine is a simen that we should have a bracha in the house? So the Taz says something unbelievable. That's a beautiful pshat. The Taz says as follows. The Gemara, if you look closely and go back to the first page, Kol Yayin is in source 5. Kol Yayin She'in Kol She'in Yayin Nishbach. What does Nishbach mean? It poured out. It spilled. Why doesn't it say Kol Yayin She'ino Shofech? That you don't pour. So it says the Taz, what it means as follows. A house that Yayin accidentally spilled. Okay? And you don't treat it like water. What does that mean? What happens if water spills in your house? You get angry or no? No. Doesn't stain. It's free. I mean, not free, but it's basically free. Right? It's not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal. Kol she'ein yayin nishpach pasok besel kemayim. If when wine accidentally spills in your house and you can't treat that like water spilling, meaning you get angry, you get furious, you get upset, you start yelling and screaming, eino b'chlal bracha. There'll be no bracha. Because there's a gemara that says that kas, anger, will lead to anias, to poverty. The Taz says the Gemara is not saying that you should spill wine out. It should say kol yayin she'eino shofech. It means if when wine spills, you get angry and you can't treat the wine like water, like big deal. It spilled. It happens. Accidents happen. Then there'll be no bracha. So I'm thinking that what the pshat is, and I was talking to Rabbi Luban today. We drove back from Rose Waltzman's Leviah. It took us, I don't know, 2.5 hours from Queens back home, but I had 2.5 hours of Red Luban, so that was pretty good, very good. So he told me that, why don't we do this on Friday night? The Gemara doesn't say anything about Shabbos. Why don't we do it Friday night? Anyone here do that? Fill up the cup all the way to the top, maybe because you don't want the tablecloth to get dirty, usually you have havdalahs on the kitchen table. Why don't we do it Friday night? If it's about kosher bracha, the Gemara doesn't say anything about havdalah. So he told me, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita told him, he said it was, he doesn't remember exactly because it was around 50 years ago, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky told him that the Shulchan Aruch only quotes it by Havdalah. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it by Kiddush. So from the fact, the Shulchan Aruch only quotes it by Havdalah. It must be it's only by Havdalah. But why? So I wanted to say it like this. There's a special inyan not to get angry on Shabbos. Shabbos is a time where no anger could set in. Shabbos is, everything's good. Everything's taken care of. It's Amuna. It's Bitachon. Amuna and Bitachon are the anecdote to Kass. If you really have real Amuna and Bitachon, there's no room for anger. It's what Hashem wanted. Shabbos is a time, there's no Bakashos on Shabbos. There's no room for anger on Shabbos. Shabbos ends. We're prone to anger. I would venture to say that many people here, they are frustrated. They get more, a little bit more annoyed, whether it's at their spouse, God forbid, or their kids, also, God forbid. On Motzei Shabbos, it's not just that Shabbos is over, but a little bit that Shabbos is over. The week is ahead of us. Motzei Shabbos is a time where we're more prone to anger. So it's a good time to test that out. That a little bit of wine spills. Can you treat the wine that's spilling like water spilling or not? That's how the Taz understands, and maybe if that's true, it's specifically on Motzei Shabbos where we're most prone to anger, where we should fulfill that din in the Gemara. That's the Taz with my twist, a beautiful Taz. The Me'iri has a different shot, nothing to do with this. I didn't put it in the source sheet. The Me'iri says that, what does it mean if it's not flowing? It's not flowing for other people. You should have a house where aniyim come and you give wine. Tamid chachamim come and have wine. Host, tachnasas orchim. So wine should always be flowing, even if you don't want wine, but keep on, the wine should be flowing for everyone. That's the Me'iri. It doesn't relate to this, but I thought I would mention that. So that's a beautiful understanding of the Gemara. It's not just a simon like wine flowing is peace and serenity should flow for chasen and kala. It's not just candy bag. So simon, simana milsa, it should be sweet. It's almost a test to our anger. Can we be overcome that? Or not. There are other Kabbalistic understandings, or Kabbalistic explanations, which I don't really understand, but you can try to stab it in source number 14. And I want to move to some other fascinating customs by Havdalah. Because one of them is in the Shulchan Aruch, which is wild to believe. In source number 15, the end of that Shulchan Aruch, which we started with. He says, Gam Shovchim in Akos, it's the second line, the last word in Source 15, page 4. Gam Shovchim in Akos Lachar Abdallah. We also pour from the cup after Abdallah. Umechabin Bo'aner, and you extinguish the flame. Why do we do it like that as opposed to blowing it out? We want to show that the only reason we had this candle is because of Havdalah. That's why. That's why we lit the candle. It wasn't just that we wanted light. So we put it out in the wine. The rochsin bo einov. You wash your eyes. You put it by your eyes. Wine is good for the eyes. Why would you do that? Mishum chibuv mitzvah. What does chibuv mitzvah mean? Love shows how precious the mitzvahs are. It's actually a tour before the Shulchan Aruch. When there's something that you love, that you appreciate, that's incredible, you want it all over you. You want it all over you. This is the Shulchan Aruch. This is not some Hasidic Rebbe. The Shulchan Aruch says to do this. It's a halacha sefer. And you have other minhagim. The Yavitz in the Siddur in Source 17, it's parentheses in the second line. Yesh mechabin bohaner umeirichin ba'ashan. Anyone do that? Some people put out, extinguish the flame in the wine and smell the smoke. L'chabin ha-mitzvah. It's a great scent. It's a mitzvah. You just did a mitzvah. I want to inhale it. I want to, it's like opening the chalon pot, right? I love the smell. This was a dvar mitzvah. The Likutei Ma'arich says it's segula to be saved from bad smells. If you have that problem, try it this Motzei Shabbos. Smell the flame put out in the wine. It's a segula for bad smells. I'm trying to understand this. Chibuv mitzvah, we actually have a lot more than you would think. When do we have chibuv mitzvah? Most primarily with kissing mitzvos. Why do the men kiss our tzitzits? We kiss our tefillin. Rav Moshe Feinstein even says that even though you're not supposed to have a hefsek between your tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, many people, myself included, when you take out the tefillin shel rosh, what do? Before I put it on, give it a kiss. You give the back. You give it a kiss. Why is that a hefsek? It's part of the mitzvah. We're showing how precious the mitzvah is. We kiss our tefillin, we kiss the Sefer Torah, many, when you get an aliyah. My first Shavuos night shir here in the shul 7.5 years ago was on kissing mitzvos. We also kiss, what else do we kiss? Mezuzah. Eretz Yisrael, it's Gorang Suvus. Many people, when they get off the plane the first time they go to Eretz Yisrael, they kiss the land. What? Yeah, they kiss the land. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shlah, that you would kiss the matzah and the maror. Now the matzah might break. It's going to be expensive. You have to be careful. Kiss the matzah. Kiss the maror. They say that Rav Simcha Bunim and Peshischa, when he was young, they didn't know he was a chassid, and he came back from yeshiva and he walked into the sukkah. It was sukkah's break. He walked into the sukkah and he kissed the walls of the sukkah, bent down and kissed the floor of the sukkah. And they knew right then and there that he was a chassid. There's making mitzvahs precious. There's a famous story. Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, came from Chicago. I had a crown boy, Derek Tishrael, for the first time. He was living in his uncle's house. Reb Lazer Yudel Finkel was a Rosh Shiva. The first night he was there, he woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Reb Lazer Yudel Finkel walked into the room that Reb Nassim Tzvi was sleeping, and he walked over to the Svarm Shrank, and he went over, and he brachless, he gave it a kiss. Shout, he gave a kiss to each volume of his Shas. And Reb Nassim Tzvi Finkel said that infused him with such an Avas HaTorah, and he never saw Avas HaTorah like that. Things that are precious to us, we kiss. I saw quoted that Rishon Karbach would kiss each item of the Mishloach Manos. Now, I don't know if that means each package or each, like, you know, Hershey kiss in the... Okay, whatever. That was totally Freudian slip. Shlomo, yeah, kiss that. People kiss. When there's mitzvah... But it's not just kissing mitzvahs. What's the luck when you get an aliyah? What are you supposed to do? Take the fastest route. And when you're done, you take the circuitous route, the longer. Why? Because when we do actions like this, it's not fake it till you make it. When you do action, we have a hard time expressing the different languages of love. We have a hard time expressing our love or showing how precious mitzvahs are. So we do things. When you could go and you could take of the wine and use it for a benefit, smell it, appreciate it, we might come to a greater appreciation and love of the mitzvahs. The chitzonius help push the inside. Sometimes it's the external actions. The kiss of our tzitzits might help us appreciate the tzitzits more. We do things.
I'm assuming you actually make a bracha on the kiss.
On the?
The Sodom.
Oh, well, because you've already made a bracha on the Sodom, so it's okay. The post can talk about it. Let's say you didn't make a Borei Sodom, you made an Asli Sodom. It has to align. But that's what we do for Chib of Mitzvahs. I have a few minutes. Let's get to dipping of the fingers, the forehead, the pockets, because this is struggling. I was struggling with this. I mentioned last week that in the Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah, it's in Source 21 over here, he quotes the Sefer, the Toldos Shmuel, which is right around 100 years ago, 150 years ago. He writes in the end of the second line, Mashinogin hamon am, lehoshit ha'etzpaos halachin b'yayin zesh ha'kav bo'os aner, the custom of people to take their fingers, dip them in the wine, Labate adayim to the pocket shema b'shem lo matzasi keis b'shum makom. I haven't found it is anywhere. The gam lo ra'isi keis l'madaktikin. I also haven't seen anyone do this. Even those who are medaktik, who are careful about minhagim, I haven't seen anyone do this. Omnam, and this is wild. Hagam she'emes sholo nimsa makar hazeh. Even though the truth is, I have yet to find a source for this. Afal pikin yadua. Shagam medakta kin nagugain. I have no source, but I know that this is done. The Piskei Tshuvos, which is a contemporary sefer written by a Hasidic Yid, a big Talmud Chacham, he quotes this minhag as well to dip the fingers in the wine and put it on our eyes and our forehead, put it in our pockets. He has a machlokes. Is it the pointer? Is it the ring finger? Is it the pinky? Which finger is it? And in his footnotes, look at his source. It's 69 in source 23. What's his source? Kamuva baharbe sifrei minhage sadikim. Like it's brought down. I'm going nuts. I want to understand. Where does this come from? Who's the first one? The first one I talked about says, I have no source. And I haven't seen people do it, but I know that people will do it. And the Piskei Tshuva says it's done. What's his foot? Footnotes are excellent. He quotes everything to Minhage Munkats, Minhage Bebels, Minhage Chabad. What's his source? Kamuva Baharve Sifra Minhage Tzadikim. And doesn't quote a source. So I have a dear friend. It's actually a friend of my father, Yitzchak Torsky, who's family of the Torsky, the Skvera Chernobyl. He's written books on the Chernobyl Hasidim and that whole dynasty. So I reached out to him because he knows all these things. So he sent me a sefer called Mibo the Ad Seiso, which are all the Minhagim of Skver. So in the Minhagim of Skver, what does it say? Nogim litain min hayayin gam l'toch hakisim. The minhag is to put the wine into the pockets. So I'm like, great. He told me the footnotes are very extensive. So we'll look at the footnote. It says, Kuf Yutes, betoldo Shmuel. The same Toldo Shmuel, the Minhag Yisrael Torah quotes, who says we don't know the source. But then he writes three lines from the bottom, the last word in the line, Achen, came in a rabbim. This is the custom of many. V'chein no'agim rabboseinu ha'kadoshim miskvera litein mayayim v'kol ha'kisim. They do this. The skvera rabbim, source, the footnote 20, came in a rabbim, the Minhag of many. Who? Who's doing this? Why? V'chein no'agim rabboseinu ha'kadoshim l'beis skvera. Three, I don't know where is this so prevalent. This, so many people do this. Where does this come from? So I said, yes, you got to do better. You got to do better for me. So fine. Then he sends me late last night from a sefer called Minhag Beis Alik. There was a liquor. I know it sounds funny. That liquor. Maybe there's a different way to pronounce it. Chasidim. He sent me a whole write up of the dynasty where it comes from. In fact, whole long story. It's a family called Brandwine. My Rav and Psek, Rishmael Berkowitz, Zechasag Vracha, his wife was a Brandwine. Turns out it's her great grandfather who came to Baltimore, I think, in the 1920s. Anyways, it's at one point it was a big sect of Hasidim, and they quote this minhag also. And then he tells us a source. He says, "Kol zeh Mishum simen tov betchilas hashavua. Simen. Simana Milsa. We do a lot of things for Simana Milsa. We actually know the Magen Avraham writes that you can make your own Simana. We've spoken about this in the Shir on Simana. People take life. You've seen that? The cereal life on Rosh Hashanah? You never saw that? Should be Simon for life. Very good. The famous Rav Heidemann in Baltimore has raisin and celery. Why? Raisin celery. Right? I'm going to give it. Life cereal. Yeah. People make all kinds of, someone told me schnitzel, you should be saved. Okay, we could go on and on and on. The top 10, simanim, some people think it's a joke. Look, he says, all this we're doing, it's all simon. The same way that wine spilling is a simon, if you don't go like the Taz, you go like the simple understanding, that wine flowing, it's a simon, that we should also have wine flowing. So he says the whole thing is Siman Milsa. And he quotes the Seder Hayom to prove this. I found the Seder Hayom, and I don't think that's what he's saying. In Source 26, I'm sorry, we have one more minute. V'achar kach nogim likro psukim shel bracha. After Avdallah, now we do it before Avdallah, the meaning is to read psukim of bracha. Kimo v'yitein lecha. Right, that's our shul's custom. V'chol amosif harizem mishubach. Anyone who adds on is praiseworthy. Mipnei shetchilas hashavua tzarek laharos inyani tovo bracha v'simana milsihi. Simana milsihi v'chol amar b'harizem mishul. But what's that referring to? That's referring to customs? That's referring to adding psukim of bracha. That's referring to adding psukim of bracha. That doesn't mean anything that you do. So again, if you do it, minag Yisrael Torah, Yisrael is so precious that we have all kinds of minhagim, and there definitely is deep depth to it. I just don't know the source, and I don't know the source where it comes from. Siman Milsi, and I'll just conclude the whole idea of Siman Milsi, at least when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's not that it's magic. It's not that if you eat fish, you're automatically going to have puravu. And it's not like if you have a rimon, you're automatically going to be yirbu zechiyosenu. And if you have the karsi, yikarsu sonenu. And if you have an apple and honey, it doesn't mean you're going to automatically have a shat tova masuka. What's the pshat? There's different pshat, but one is it gets you in that mode. What am I striving for? What does it mean to have a shat tova masuka? What does that mean? What does that mean to be Yerba Zechiyosenu? The simen is a trigger. It's a placebo effect to get you to be thinking what it's about. That's one way to understand it. The other way to understand it is that it reminds you what to daven for. So I think it's the same thing over here. The Simana Milsa over here, it's not magic that if I go to my friend's house in the five towns, I'm going to pour the whole cup, the whole plate of the Kiddush cup into my pocket. I'm not going to be automatically blessed with bracha. But I can start thinking, what's bracha? And what do I do with bracha? And what's the point of bracha? And how valuable really is having that bracha? And what am I doing with the brachas that I do have? And that gets the person into mind. And in terms of that, it is very chashuv to start the week with that simon. To be thinking, what am I doing with the brachas that I have? We should all be blessed with the brachos. All the brachos, we should understand where they come from, why we're doing them. And if somebody, whether here or at any point in your life, find out what's shot with the pockets. Please, please, please give me a call. Maybe I'll start doing it also. I'll dive in Marvin in 30 seconds. I'm sorry. I'm